एतात् कीर्तयन् मायाम्। स्मरन् काले खाने या एतात् कीर्तयेन् मायाम् अहं नरः प्रमुच्यते।
And who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers that you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities. Purport by His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here it is stated that anyone who chants and hears about the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, and in relationship with Prahlad's activities, the activities of Narasimhadev, gradually becomes free from all the bondage of fruitive activities, as stated in Bhagavad Gita,
Yam hina vyatayante te purusham purusharsabha samadhuka sukham dhiram somritatvaiva kalpate. O best among men, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Dukheshvanuk vinamana sukeshu vigatasprija vitaragabhaya krodha stita dhiramunir uchate. One who is not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries, who is not elated when there is happiness, and who is freed from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. A devotee should not be aggrieved in an awkward position, nor should he feel extraordinarily happily in opulent material position. This is the way of expert management of material life. Because a devotee knows how to manage expertly, he is called Jivan Mukta. Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Iha yasya harerdhasye karmanama nasakira nikilasvapyavastasu jivan mukta cha uchyate. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna, with his body, mind, intelligence, and words, is a liberated person even within this material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. Because of constantly engaging in devotional service in any condition of life, a devotee is free from all material bondage. Bhakti punati mannishta swapakan api sambhavat. Even born in a family of meat eaters, he is purified if he engages in devotional service. Srila Jiva Goswami cites this verse in logically supporting that anyone who chants about the pure life and activities of Prahlad Maharaj is freed from the reactions of material activities. Translation: One who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers that you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities. This is the benediction that Lord Narasimhadev is offering to all those who hear with a sincere and devoted heart the beautiful story of the life of Prahlad Maharaj. The devotee is so dear to the Lord that the Lord, Personality of Godhead, takes greatest pleasure when a living being finds joy in hearing the glories of his devotees. Spiritual advancement only takes place when the Lord, who is within our heart, is pleased by our efforts on the path of bhakti.
The path of bhakti yoga is a path of invoking, by our sincere service attitude, the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, there is no other method of advancing in this highest process of yoga. The ascending processes of self-realization, the participant, by his own efforts, by his own tapasya, by his own determination, he is trying to climb higher and higher the ladder toward the absolute truth. But in the path of bhakti, a devotee knows that by his tapasya, by his determination, by his sincere service attitude, he is simply trying to attract the blessings of Krishna and his devotees. And in fact, whatever effort we make, if it is not pleasing to Krishna and his devotees, then we make no spiritual advancement on the path of devotional service. Therefore, as said in Bhagavatam, Atapum bhir idat vijastrestas varanashrama vibhagasha swanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir hari toshanam. Samsadir hari toshanam. That whatever we do in our spiritual life, the only goal, the only purpose should please the Lord. If the Lord is not pleased, even if we perform the greatest, most wonderful acts in the eyes of men, even if our fasting, our tapasya, our sweet kirtans, our magnificent lectures, whatever we may offer to the Lord, if it is not pleasing to him and his pure devotees, it is of no value. We make no spiritual advancement. Therefore, in this mood, a devotee feels himself very humble, insignificant, and useless. Because the devotee understands that with whatever power and abilities he has, he's utterly helpless to make any advancement in devotional service. It is all exclusively depending on the mercy of the sadhus and the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna tells us in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is spoken by Suta Goswami, Srinvatam sukata krishna punja sravana kirtana hridyanta stohi bhadani vidunoti suhritsatam. That one who takes pleasure in hearing the glories of the Lord and his devotees, such a person, through this process, pleases the Lord to such an extent that the Lord within the heart dispels all the darkness, all the ignorance, all the material bondage from within. This means one is non-envious. An envious person does not like to hear the glories of someone else. An envious person likes to hear the glories of himself. But one who is not envious, who with a sincere heart genuinely takes pleasure in hearing the glories of the Lord and his devotees, such a person wins the heart of Krishna. And through this process, Krishna within your heart, he purifies you of all your bondage to material attachments. Anartha Nivritti. The first thing we have to do in order to take pleasure in hearing the glories of the Lord as devotees is we have to at least be awake. Huh? So, please try to understand that there are yogis who, living in the Himalayas, they are performing such tapasya. Recently, some of our devotees went to Gomukh, the source of Mother Ganga, far above Gangotri, in the high peaks of the Himalayas. And we found there that even in the midst of the summer months, there is snow and ice all around. And even in the summer, the water, as it is coming out of this holy glacier, it is more cold than ice. In fact, gigantic chunks of ice are constantly just roaring by the rapid waves of the Ganges. There are, and we have seen, yogis who live there throughout the year, even in the winter months, bathing three times a day in the Ganges, performing severe tapasya, fasting. I don't know what there is to possibly even eat in that place in the winter. All for the purpose of attaining higher realizations of the Absolute Truth, Bhagavan. And there are others who are in the process of Jnana Yoga who observe complete celibacy, complete detachment from any of the objects of the senses, tremendous sacrifice. They spend sometimes 18 hours a day studying the scripture, just trying to get deeper and deeper and deeper insights into what is matter and what is spirit. There are other yogis who live in caves with venomous snakes, with leopards, lions, tigers, monkeys all around, scorpions, no ventilation, dark in the jungle. And they sit, they, through the process of fasting, they emaciate their bodies. They sit in meditation, fixing their mind on one object in total concentration, not moving their body, enduring all the pains and tribulations of the mind and senses and the natural elements, just to strive to come closer to that state of liberation. Although such processes are very difficult, almost impossible for the common man, factually, an innocent housewife who takes pleasure in hearing the glories of the Lord and the devotees of the Lord makes more spiritual advancement than all of these sadhus and yogis. Because the Lord takes greater pleasure in seeing you take pleasure in hearing his glories, and especially in hearing the glories of his devotees. Therefore, sravanam kirtanam smarana bandana pada sevana dasyare. Govinda Das prays, let me always engage my mind in the nine processes of devotional service, of which first and foremost is hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting those glories. Here, Narasingadev, because of his love for Prahlad, due to his great surrender, he is admitting that anyone who loves Prahlad, I love that person. Because Prahlad Maharaj is so dear, because Prahlad, you have done so much to show your loyalty, your faith, and your devotion to me. Anyone who loves you, anyone who takes pleasure in hearing about you, that person is most dear to me. And he explains, in due course of time, that person will be free from the reactions of all material activities. Lord Narahari specifically is using the word kale, which Srila Prabhupada translates in due course of time, to give us confidence that it is his assurance. Do not expect immediate results, but it is guaranteed. Just as when a young lady marries a young man, she cannot expect to have a baby the day after their marriage. It is said every woman, generally, is very fond of having baby. Why this is so is inconceivable to any man of sanity. But every woman is very fond of having little baby. First of all, it's crawling around in her womb, and she's thinking, how nice. And then it's crawling around all over the house, and she's just running around frantically trying to keep it from killing itself. But somehow or other, by the great force of the illusory energy, every woman is very anxious to have babies. And even after they go through the horrible trauma of giving birth, which is a very, very painful experience, suffering like anything, after they give birth and then they have to care for this infant that's just basically a outlet for stool and urine and mucus and saliva. They're just manufacturing these things constantly, incessantly. The mother says, I'll never have another baby again. This is the last one, never again. But then, as soon as the child becomes a little grown up, she's thinking, how much I want another baby. So it is said that every woman wants babies. But you cannot expect, the woman cannot expect to have a baby immediately after marriage. First, she has to serve her husband very nicely. She has to please him in so many ways. And then, after so many months or so many years, the baby will come. So she has to have this patience. Srila Prabhupada uses this example, that Krishna promises us that in due course of time, if you please the Lord and you please the devotees, then Krishna will take birth within your heart. He will appear within your heart. And when he appears, he will dispel all attachments to material activities. But we cannot expect it to happen immediately. It is a gradual process. But it is guaranteed. It is the promise of the Lord. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaishyasi satyam te prati jani priyosime. Always think of me, worship me, offer your homage unto me. In this way, Krishna says, you will come to me without fail. I promise this because you are my dear friend. So this is the love of Krishna for his devotee. That anyone who loves his devotee is loved by Krishna. Anyone who takes joy in glorifying his devotee more than anyone else is loved by Krishna. Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita that you can understand this message because you are not envious of me. Because you are non-envious. An envious man cannot tolerate hearing the glories of others. But a non-envious man takes great pleasure in hearing the glories of Krishna's devotees. And this is why it is so important to adopt this mentality that we are the insignificant servant of the Vaishnavas. Because as soon as we consider ourselves to be of any importance in spiritual life, then what happens is we cannot tolerate anyone stepping in front of us, especially in the eyes or the ears of others. To the degree we give importance to ourselves, to that degree we become envious of others who may compete or infringe upon our spiritual position. Therefore, the devotee is aspiring, das, das, anudas, to be the most insignificant, infinitesimal, atomic servant, an atomic particle of the dust of the feet of all the other Vaishnavas. That is what it means to be the servant of the servant of the servant, aspiring for this position. And when we are in this position, then we take the greatest pleasure in hearing other devotees glorified, in hearing other devotees praised with words of glorification. Prahlad Maharaj, the most exalted of all Vaishnavas, because he had accepted this humble position, therefore he was able to, in every circumstance of his life, cry out for the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. And therefore he became most dear to the Lord. And anyone who loves the Lord's devotee is loved by Krishna. Even in English parlance, it is said, love me, love my dog. Because in English parlance, in the English speaking world, dog is man's best friend. You have heard this saying. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, know me to be the friend, the best friend of your heart. Huh? But in the English-American system, it does not say that God is your best friend, but it says dog is man's best friend. Huh? And of course, God spelled backward, in reverse, is dog. So the fact that they're thinking that dog is man's best friend means that we have the exact reverse mentality of those who are spiritually inclined and accept God as man's best friend. Prabhupada used to say, anyone who considers himself God is dog. Huh? And everyone considers themselves God, so everyone is a dog. And dog is man's best friend. So what does that mean? That means everyone's completely envious of God. But it is said, love me, love my dog. In other words, if you love my best friend, that's the best way you can show your love to me. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur does say that Krishna, Krishna, I am like a dog just following behind you. Huh? The one quality of a dog that is very much respected is his loyalty to his master. So a devotee is sometimes considered to be like Krishna's dog, because he is simply following behind Krishna, chanting Krishna, Krishna. So one who loves Krishna's dog is loved by Krishna. One who loves to hear the glories of those persons who are loyal to the Lord, that person is most beloved by the Lord. And this is the benediction that Lord Narahari is giving. Srila Prabhupada is describing here how when one comes to this platform of making the prominence in his life, seeking happiness and pleasure in hearing the glories of the Lord rather than in satisfying the senses, then one becomes completely indifferent to the happiness and distress of this material existence, because he is no longer looking for pleasure in the things of this material existence. Nasta praisha bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati utama sloke bhaktir bhavati naistiki. It is said, one who daily takes pleasure in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the story of the Lord and his devotees, and who daily engages in the service of the person Bhagavatam. To such a person, Krishna reveals everything from within the heart. So this must be the standard of our search for happiness in this world. The propensity for enjoyment is very strongly situated within us. It is impossible for a neophyte devotee to simply give up looking for pleasure, because we are pleasure seeking by nature. But we do have the power, if we are sincere, to seek out pleasure not in our own selfish glorification, not in our own selfish sensual pleasures, but in hearing the glories of the Lord and his devotees. Therefore, when devotees come together, it is described in the third canto, yatredyante katam rishtas trishnayo prishamojata, which means the devotees, when they come together, they do not discuss sense gratification. They do not discuss worldly topics, which are directly or indirectly only meant for sense gratification. But they come together to give each other the pleasure of hearing and the glories of the Lord and his devotees. Therefore, in the process of coming above the neophyte stage of devotional service, it is most essential that we learn how to associate with one another. You see, the tendency is, in the association of devotees, to talk nonsense, to speak about one's own glories, or to speak about just completely irrelevant subject matter which has nothing to do with Krishna's glories. This is the tendency. This is the tendency of the tongue, the fastidious, uncontrolled tongue. Therefore, the devotees of the Lord must learn how to associate with one another correctly. That means when we come together like this morning to hear the glories of the Lord and his devotees, to engage in the holy kirtan of the Lord, where we are glorifying the Lord and his devotees. And if we can simply do this, very soon we will attain pure devotional service. If we can simply keep this sacred principle as the unifying force amongst us, then very soon we will all understand the kingdom of God within our own hearts. But if we cannot, if we will not agree to sanctifying our association by keeping the glorification of the Lord and his devotees between us, then we will do so many tapasya, so many great services, but there will always be something gravely lacking within our hearts. So let us take this benediction of Lord Narsingadev upon our head, into our hearts. Let us take this benediction of Lord Narsingadev as his causeless mercy and accept this benediction as our life and soul. This benediction is that anyone who takes pleasure in hearing the glories of such great souls as Prahlad and the Lord in due course of time will become free from all material reactions and will attain pure devotional service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. This is very simple. It is a very simple process. We can speak all sorts of very, very eloquent philosophy, but if we forget this principle, our spiritual life is lost. Huh? Because factually, all our philosophy, all our logic, all our argument is only meant to bring us to the point of learning how to hear and chant the glories and names of Krishna. That's all. Let us not miss the point. This, what we are speaking of this morning, is the essence of spiritual life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? If one is a bona fide servant of a pure devotee, then the effect is practically the same. If you are hearing from a pure devotee and you are engaged in his service, then the words that you speak are actually being empowered by that pure devotee. So anyone who hears from you will also have very, very great effect. Don't think it's by your potency, but it's by the potency of the pure devotee who is empowering you. After all, if you are his submissive and humble servant, and you are trying honestly to repeat his words, will he not empower and impregnate your words with spiritual potency? It is not your potency, it is his potency. It is God's potency. So therefore, we should hear from the sincere devotees who are the servants of the pure devotees, and of course also from the pure devotees. But to hear from professional reciters or from the impersonalist class of men, the effects will not be the same. Hearing from professional reciters, the effects are very minimal because they are not impregnated with the empowerment of the pure souls. And similarly, hearing from the Mayavadis and the impersonalists is sometimes very dangerous. Sanatana Goswami describes it is like taking milk from the lips of a serpent. It has poisonous effects. Because although they are glorifying the Lord, in a subtle way, the influence of their impersonalistic Mayavad conception is within the words, is impregnated within the words. And for a devotee, the Mayavad conception of becoming one with God is like poison. So in fact, it is like drinking milk from the lips of a serpent. Milk is very nutritious. It is very, it is the perfect food. But when that poison is within the milk, it becomes deadly. So similarly, hearing the glories of the Lord from anyone, the glories of the Lord in and of themselves is the most nutritious and perfect food for the soul. But when the influence of Mayavad philosophy is integrated within that sound vibration, then you should know that that influence, which is a very, very powerful, subtle energy, which you may not even be able to recognize with your gross intelligence, it will spoil your service attitude. And therefore, it is like poison. So that is why it is said, Nasta Praesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavati Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. That one should hear the Bhagavatam from a person Bhagavatam. From one who is actually following in the footsteps of Shukadev Goswami and the great acharyas in the disciplic line. And if we hear from someone, even though that person may not be advanced himself, if he is honestly and sincerely trying to serve his spiritual master, and he is honestly and sincerely trying to repeat his message, then you should know that there will be great, great benefits in hearing the sound vibration emanating from his mouth. Is there any other questions? Does that answer you? Should factually be very careful who he hears from. Because a neophyte devotee cannot even discriminate what is Mayavad and what is Bhagavad philosophy. Very difficult to discriminate. It is so subtle at times. Sometimes it's very gross and blatant, but sometimes it is very subtle. Sometimes a person appears to be a Vaishnav 99.9%, and then at the very last moment, I am God, you are God, we are all God. Huh? It is very difficult to discriminate sometimes. Therefore, a neophyte devotee must be very cautious that sincerely hearing the message of Godhead should come from authorized persons within disciplic succession of the Lord. That is the safe path. Otherwise, there is risk. Swamiji, you had a question? How to not find faults in others. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that I only see a fault in my godbrother because I am honeycombed with hundreds and thousands of faults myself. The things, the impurities within ourselves that we hate to admit the most are the things that we are most intolerant about when we see in another. So a devotee should know that if I had a pure heart, these faults would not be of any significance. If I had a pure heart, I would see the shining light of the soul within this person. So the fact that I'm seeing faults and I'm disturbed by the faults of others is only a sign of my own imperfection, my own impurities. So every time we are disturbed with faults in others, we should use our intelligence to locate within our own heart the fact that it is only because of my impurity. It's not him, it's me that is at fault. We have to train our consciousness to be like this. And take it as an austerity, as a severe tapasya, probably more difficult than bathing in Gomukh during the month of February. Take it as an austerity that whoever you want to find the most faults with, speak only good things about that person. Huh? It's great austerity. That's like putting your false ego in the Gomuk Glacier during the month of February. And putting your false ego in that predicament is much more painful than putting your body. So if we are actually sincere, we should use our intelligence. Krishna says, conquer the lower self with the higher self. The higher self is your good intelligence given by God and the Guru. And your lower self is your mind and senses acting whimsically according to their preference. So by engaging our mind more and more and more in hearing the glories of the Lord and his devotees, we lose our taste for finding faults in others. So we have to occupy our minds more and more in positive glorification and refrain from finding faults in others. See the fault in yourself. See whatever fault in another is simply a mirror reflection of your own impurities. Huh? When you look in the mirror and you see a defect in your own self, in your body, do you blame the mirror? Do you criticize the mirror? Or do you understand there's something wrong with me? Huh? Which one? If you have a big boil on your head and you look in the mirror, what do you do? Do you start criticizing the mirror? Or do you realize, my God, I better start doing something about my head? I have an infection, I better treat it. This is exactly how we should see. When we see a fault in other, rather than blaming the mirror reflection, we should think, my God, what fault there must be in me? I better treat it very carefully. Huh? Use your intelligence to see life like that. And glorify that devotee. And glorify Krishna. And through that process, param drisvani vartate, you will develop the higher taste, where to find faults in others becomes completely unpalatable. In fact, when you do accidentally slip, you won't feel pleasure, you won't feel fulfillment like a materialist. You'll feel guilty, you'll feel filthy, dirty, my God, what have I done? And every time you glorify yourself, you'll feel totally filthy, dirty before God. You'll think, my God, what have I done? This is horrible. Huh? This is natural. Because you're experiencing the higher taste. Even when you do indulge in the lower taste, it tastes horrible. It has a terrible after effect. Huh? This is how we will develop through this process. Of course, if you are a manager and you see a particular fault in a devotee, but it is not because you are envious, and with compassion you're seeing the good qualities of that person, but you want to see him advance in Krishna consciousness, then sometimes you have to point out the fault in that person for his own spiritual welfare. But that is not fault finding. That is service. You are in the mood of the servant of that devotee. You are considering that person your Prabhu. Therefore, you are